the Herodians, the chief priests and teachers of the law and stuff, of how they were trying to trap Jesus in a certain way. And this was especially true in the latter part of Jesus's life, that last week that he had there. And their goal, of these Jewish leaders, their goal was to have him arrested, have him stand trial for something, and they weren't sure exactly what yet, what he would stand trial for, and then hand him over to the Roman authorities. And eventually they would succeed with this goal in mind. But in the early part of that last week of Jesus' life, they weren't successful. And the reason why is because of the popularity of Jesus. Man, there were tons of people that were following him in various places. The Bible says that those Jewish leaders were actually afraid of those followers of Jesus. They were afraid because if they tried to arrest him, they would probably have chaos on their hands. During the Passover festival, the population of Jerusalem kind of tripled because folks would make their way in from other regions to celebrate the Passover festival. And most of these people who came in, they only heard of Jesus. They never actually heard him preach or teach, or they never actually laid eyes on him as well, until this last week of Jesus' life. Because in that last week, and especially in the early days, Jesus taught at the temple every day. And when he would teach, hundreds upon hundreds of people would come and listen to him preach and teach. And then they would go invite others as well, and they would come and listen to Jesus preach and teach. The Bible says that when the people heard him teach, they were amazed. They were astonished, depending on what version of the Bible that you use. They were amazed. And there were four Greek words that the gospel writers could have chosen to describe that word amazed. And of the four words, each one of them had a little bit of a different meaning and intensity to them too. The one that they chose is the Greek word ekplesio. And it means to pound, to strike over and over again. The gospel writers are testifying that Jesus' teaching had a way of pounding on people to a point where they became dazed, stunned, amazed. Doesn't sound like a very pleasant experience, does it? Because it's not. It's not a pleasant experience at first. And we've all been there before. When we've been reminded over and over again through the scriptures and through the gospels and through Jesus' teachings that we are sinners. Amen? That we are sinners. And it's not a very pleasant experience to be reminded that you have faults and that you have mistakes in your life and so forth, and especially when someone tells you over and over again. We've all been there before. We heard the gospel message. We became aware of and convicted of our sins in our life, and that conviction feeling kept pounding away at us, and we would try to ignore it, we would try to run away from it, we would deny it altogether, but the Holy Spirit, thank God, the Holy Spirit kept pounding away at us until we gave up and until we gave in. And until we surrendered it all and we gave it to God. Because we know that he is a loving God who forgives our sins and all of our mistakes in the past and all through the blood of Jesus Christ. When we surrender, some of you know this. When we surrender, the pounding stops and our new life begins. 12 times the gospel writers describe this kind of impact that Jesus' teaching had on the people. 12 times they describe his teaching in this way. There was another reason why the people gathered to hear Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. He had authority. Whenever we read the scriptures about the prophets or the teachers of the law or the rabbis, whenever they would teach something, they always would refer back to the scriptures and they would say, and I'm using King James language here, they would say, "Thus saith the Lord," right? "Thus saith the Lord." The prophets, the rabbis, the teachers of the law, "Thus saith the Lord." When we teach from scripture and preach from it, we do the same thing. The Bible says, the Word of God says, we always refer back to the truth, don't we, of Scripture. We always refer back to the truth. Sunday school teachers, preachers, lay people, lay servants, take note. We always refer back to the Scriptures, because if we're not, we are teaching false doctrine. We are teaching the wrong things. We must refer back to Scripture for the truth. Now think about how Jesus taught. Jesus said, "Verily," King James again, "verily, verily, I tell you. Verily, verily, I tell you." Jesus never referred back to the Word of God because he is the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is, always has been, and always will be the Word of God. And as amazing and as powerful as that statement sounds, that particular passage, here's one that's even more powerful and more greater. In fact, it's one that I think should be underlined in every Bible, even as it's printed. This particular passage needs to be underlined. John 1:14, "And the Word of God became flesh and made his dwelling among us." The incarnation. Man, it means that we as human beings, we can see, we can hear, we can learn. We can know more about God than ever before in history, because the Word of God became flesh. That's authority. And that's the definition of authority as well. And that's why we are so amazed, and that's why we are so convicted when we hear Jesus' teaching. It's God's word of forgiveness and grace spoken directly to our hearts through Jesus Christ. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee." The Greek word for verily is amen. When we hear the truth spoken, how do we respond? Amen. 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 I want to pause here for a moment. We are in the second Sunday of Lent. I think this is a good moment to reflect on and think about what Jesus teaches us. and to reflect about all the pounding that has been going on in our life and the sins that are before us, our mistakes, our past. And just take a moment and ask for forgiveness. Won't you join me for our prayer of confession? Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Let's take a moment of silence and lift up our prayers of confession to the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Jesus is in the temple court teaching a huge crowd that gathered. He had just finished telling the parable of the tenant that we looked at last Sunday. And the Jewish leaders knew, as Scripture said, the Jewish leaders knew that that parable was against them. And those teachings of Jesus was starting to pound away at them. But instead of giving in and instead of giving up and surrendering all, these Jewish leaders continued to search even harder of ways of trapping Jesus. And they decided to stick to their plan of him being arrested and found guilty of something in a trial and handed over to the Roman authorities. And that brings us to our scripture reading this morning, Luke chapter 20, verse 20 through 26. And I'm going to read verse 20 and then the rest of them as we go. If you would, please stand and join me. Luke chapter 20, verse 20. Keeping a close watch on him, they sent spies who pretended to be honest. And they hoped to catch Jesus in something he said so that they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor. And may God offer his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. You may be seated. Despite the crowds that were there, the Jewish leaders continued to try and trap Jesus, and this time they sent spies who pretended to be honest, as the passage said. These so-called spies, they tried to blend in with the rest of the crowd. They dressed, they spoke, they acted like all the other out-of-towners there in Jerusalem who made that pilgrimage there. The hundreds of people that were in that temple court, they wouldn't have noticed anything about these spies because they kind of blended in. But Jesus, who knows the heart of every man and woman, Jesus did know and recognize them. As a matter of fact, from where Jesus was standing and teaching, this is what he saw. Am I right? Can you see it? Yeah. Everybody else that were there wouldn't have recognized that, wouldn't have known that, but Jesus, who knows the heart of every man, would have. And this is what Jesus saw. He saw wolves in sheep clothing. And of course, they weren't fooling him. Verse 21. And so the spies question him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right, and that you do not show partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth." And boy, oh boy, here's some nice compliments that are being paid to Jesus by these spies. And these compliments are actually true. Jesus is right in what he taught, and he did walk with God. The problem is these nice words are coming from deceptive hearts, and this is what wolves in sheep clothing do their best. They love buttering us up, don't they? They use flattery to build up our pride. And then they attack. And what does the Bible say? Pride goes before destruction, and haughtiness before a fall. Jesus knows what they are up to because he can see right through them. He knows their heart. And this is a reminder for us as well. We need to remember that there are wolves out there, aren't there? Don't take them lightly. In fact, when Jesus sent his disciples out to preach and teach among the regions, he said, I am sending you out like sheep among the wolves. They are real. And they are waiting to pounce on us as God's children. And the best defense that we have against these wolves, if you will, are these three things. The first thing is stay in the Word. Stay in the Word of God. Sunday school, Bible studies, reading your Bible, devotionals, coming to worship, hearing the Word, and so forth. Stay in the Word. The second thing that we have is to stay in the Spirit. Man, whenever you feel like the Holy Spirit is starting to fade away from you, pray. Pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to come back into your heart and into your lives. That song that we sang is a prayer song. Spirit of the loving God, fill me afresh with your Spirit. And the third thing is, stay in the fold. Continue to surround yourself with other believers who have been loyal and true. Other believers who have guided you with sincerity, with honesty, and with agape love. Those three things is what we need to help defend off the wolves that are out there. The spies believed that they had Jesus all buttered up. They had him all filled with pride and all the flattery that they gave them. And now come the test. In verse 22, they said, hey, is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And I got to tell you something, paying taxes back during biblical days was just as unpopular as it is now. And I don't know if you saw online, they have a new EZ 1040 form. Did y'all see that? Anybody can do their taxes. It's so easy. This EZ 1040 form, it only has two lines. The first line says, what is your income? The second line says, send it all in. This is a pretty clever question when you think about it, of what they asked Jesus. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar? Because if Jesus says, no, it is not right, then he could be arrested for treason by the Roman Empire. And if he says, yes, it is right, then he could lose the support of all those people who had followed him because they didn't think it was right. And the spies didn't care how Jesus answered. They knew that he was in a no-win situation. Just answer the question. Verse 23 through 25. Jesus saw through their duplicity, and he said to them, show me a denarius. Whose portrait and inscription is on it? Caesar's, they replied. He said to them, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. A denarius is a coin that was paid for one day's labor. And on that coin was a stamped picture or image of the Caesar itself. And the image was just as big as the coin itself. And it represented one day's pay. Jesus says, if it has his image on it, then give it to him because it must belong to him. And with that response, Jesus disarms the trap that these Jewish leaders had. He cleverly avoided answering their question, but that's not to say that they aren't going to stop trying. They'll come back again and again because that's what wolves do. They constantly stalk and pursue their prey until they wear them down, until they weaken them, and until then they attack. And in the end, these folks would get their way. These wolves would get their way. Jesus would be arrested later in the week. He would stand trial and be found guilty of blasphemy. He would be handed over to the Roman authorities, and he would then suffer under Pontius Pilate and be crucified, dead and buried in a tomb for 3 days. But we know that isn't the end of the story, don't we? Verily, verily, the Bible says, on the third day he rose again, and he ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Verily, verily, the Bible says that one day he will come back again as well and claim all of us and judge the living and the dead. That is our blessed hope. And there isn't a wolf alive that can take that hope from us. Amen? Amen. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And right after that, when Jesus was speaking to these wolves, right after that, he said something else, but not only to the wolves, but to everyone that was gathered there, he said, and give to God what is God's. And I have to believe that everyone that was there was saying, what in the world do I have that belongs to God? The creator of the world, what do I have that he would want from me? You guys, about 2 hours after this, on this same day, about 2 hours after that, after this, Jesus answered that question. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, he said, this is what the Lord wants from you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Our full and complete and supreme love belongs to God. And when we love him in this manner, it is then that we are at our best. We walk and we talk with him. And when we love him in this manner, it is then that we will be blessed. And the reason why is because God blesses and rewards obedience. And when we love him in this manner, it is then that we will love each other. Because as the Bible says, you can't love God and hate another. If you do, the Bible reminds us that we are liars. Give to God what is God's. And what we have that belongs to him is our complete and full and supreme love. Now I want to close with verse 26 that we haven't looked at yet. And it says that they, meaning those wolves, they were unable to trap him in what he had said there in public. And look, amazed by his answer, they became silent. You ever been convicted of something that you knew you did wrong? And being convicted of it, what do? You sit in silence, don't you? You can't deny it. You can't defend it. You sit in silence. These wolves were convicted by Jesus' teaching. Amazed, it says they were. The pounding of the gospel was happening to them and convicting them, and it was directed at them. Jesus is pounding away and trying to penetrate the hardest of hearts including wolves. And it's a reminder to us that he never gives up. He never stops trying, even to the end. He reaches out to everyone. He reaches out to all of us. No matter what our pasts are, no matter what our sins are, no matter what we've done in regards to our past, he reaches out to all of us, as the scripture says, "For God so loved the world," all of us, "that he gave his one and only Son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that Jesus and the gospel kept pounding away at my heart, until one day I just finally said, "I give up. I give in. And I surrender all." And maybe there are some here today that the convicting grace of the gospel is pounding at your heart as well. Give up. Give in. Surrender it all. You will be blessed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for the many opportunities that you have given us and continue to give us. Even though at times we deny it, even though at times we run from it, we thank you again for today, this, an opportunity to give to you in this second Sunday of Lent, to give to you all the guilt and shame that we have been carrying for years, because the pounding of the gospel is touching us today. Help us to release those things. Help us to find new life when we do, and the pounding will stop, and the blessings will come, and hope will be instilled within us. And we pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.